Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated a hadith, and the meaning of that hadith is, he stated that the gracious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his service, in his company, a person from the sort of countryside, a nomadic type person, came, and all the Sahaba, noble companions, were present, and he presented a strange question. Strange question. He said, "O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when will Qiyamah come? When will the Day of Judgment come? The hereafter." So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, he didn't say it will come after 10 years or 5 years later or 6 years later or after 8 years. Rather, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that, "What have you prepared for Qiyamah?" Say, "Subhanallah, subhanallah." Do you understand what I'm saying? A little bit what I'm saying? Just like today we say, "Oh, Isa alayhi salam is going to come, Mahdi alayhi salam is going to come, this is going to happen, that's going to happen." But in reality, these events, they will take place. They are reality. But the order that we've been given, the instruction that we've been given, let's think about that first. That Qiyamah is going to come, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hereafter is reality, hisab, accounting, reckoning, decisions. So the point we need to think about is, how much have I prepared for that day that's going to arrive? So the person, he gave a good answer. And he made us, you could say, gave us success through his answer. He said, "Oh, Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," because they are straightforward, to the point. He said that, "I pray salah, and the instructions you've given, I do those. And I don't have much nawafil, optional prayer to my name, optional sadaqah, fasting. That's all I have. That ibadah, which are fard, I continue to implement them. But there's one point, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love them immensely." Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So then listen to the answer. That what a great, great point he laid down. He put his ibadah to one side, his worship, that I don't have any extra optional voluntary prayers. You know, fard, obviously fard. We say just do this many hajj and this many umrah and this ibadah. We do it for this purpose, don't we? So the Prophet ﷺ gave a beautiful comprehensive answer, that put the ibadah to one side. And what value do we have to our worship? We don't know. When he said that, "I love Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immensely," then Rasulullah sallam immediately gave the answer. Is it? Then listen. The individual who has this feeling, that whichever person, whoever he loves, whoever he has affection for on the Day of Judgment, he will be with that person who he loves and has affection for. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu stated this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that we are discussing. He said that Islam, after the day when people came into Islam, there was no greater day of happiness than that day when we were sitting there. What a great status a person gets, that if he has genuine love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then imagine the status. So now we've got the path very clear. Is there anyone in the gathering? There's so many people, tall, short, big, small, young, old. Is there anyone who doesn't have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart? Obviously everybody has. So this love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this? And this is the second name for this is Iman. Belief. Faith, which we all have, alhamdulillah. That Iman is the name of affirming our belief, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the kalima, the recitation. Affirming belief that as soon as you are born in this world and came to this world, you, me, all children that are being born, who have been born, that when they are born, the first message that is instilled into that child and delivered to that child through the voice which penetrates through the body is La. Subhanallah. What do we say to the child? La. that this dunya you've come into, remember one point clearly, this dunya is different, you've come into the test room. La ilaha, we say to the child. So everything you will have to detach from, apart from whatever Allah Ta'ala says, that is the right thing, the haq thing. So get ready for this now, O child. You've come into the environment where you have to be prepared. Muhammadur Rasulullah. And only one obedience, line of obedience. 124,000 prophets, messengers came, kitabs came, everything. Forget all of that. You are in the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You are in his nation. So put everything to the side. All you need to do, one action, one line of action. Kitab Allah, Allah's book. Wa sunnate Rasulullah. And the sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the way of life. And the definition of Iman is this. And that's what we instill into the child when he is born. So that message we give doesn't go to waste. It's penetrated the child, permeated the child, absorbed into the child. This is Allah's hukam. This is Rasulullah's hukam. This is not some drama. This is a very great statement Allah is saying. And this is the consciousness of every believer. The child understands. He knows he's got the power, he's got the energy. That the kalimat that you've recited, that is gone into his veins, into his blood. So Allah says, I've prepared this person, this young child, me, you, everyone sat here. Is there anyone whose ears did not receive the adhan after birth? We are those of adhan. We are the people of adhan. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the same message, the same good news to this person. Who are the people of Iman? Who love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what a great maqam. Those people who love Rasulullah, where will they be? That in Hashar, on the day of reckoning, resurrection, there will be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. So this is Iman, about which Allah's Nabi said, Iman, belief, there's no greater wealth than Iman, tell me, nothing. Yes, take hundreds of thousands of millions of worlds next to us and put the love for Allah and His Rasul to one side. Can anything compare? Nothing can. So what we realize is that the greatest wealth compared to the whole universe is the love for Allah and His Rasul. And this love is called Iman, belief. Then the other name for this love for Allah and His Rasul is Iman, belief. And Allah's Nabi has said that this is what you will get as a reward for this. So I ask you a question now, my friends. That this is not an easy game. It's not so easy, simple, to attain success. That Allah's given us the wealth of Iman. It's a great, great piece of wealth. And we're not aware of this. And I ask you a question. That is there anything that is valuable and you don't protect it? If you have in your life, won't you protect it? There's something valuable in your life that you've come from home. Have you locked your door or have you left it open? There's somebody at home. Even then you close the door and lock it twice. Oh, I don't want the thief to come in. If you're present yourself inside the house, even then you set the alarm. Maybe I'll be sleeping. I don't want a thief to come in. So much caution. What will a thief come and take? Oh, he's going to take my watch. He's going to take X, Y, Z. Yeah. So we're cautious. We try to prevent. And this is caution for the dunya, for the world. Such locks that have been manufactured to protect wealth, safeguard wealth, safeguard your car, your vehicles, padlocks and safes and guards and security guards, and dogs run out the garden. We don't want the thief to come. What for? Just for a few pounds. Yeah, that has no value really with regards to the whole of this dunya. So we protect this, don't we? We make pockets with zips, and inside the zip, what's going to go in there? Just the cash, the money. Yeah, so if we compare this now to reality, which is obviously that we'll have to protect what's valuable, because there are thieves in the world. Wherever there's wealth, Allah has also created the thieves, hasn't He? Yeah, where there's a store or a shop, we're worried, we don't want the thief to come, but even then the theft takes place. Shops have theft taking place, in the homes there's theft that takes place. So due to the thief, we protect and safeguard our wealth. We don't want the thief to come in and steal our goods. So wealth means thief will come. He definitely will come. And if you don't protect the wealth, then you'll have a loss. So the same principle now, the greatest wealth Allah has given to us, Iman. Ask you a question now. That me and you, have we protected our wealth of Iman? Tell me the truth. Yeah, we've left it free. And is there no thief to take him and pick up the Quran? How many places Allah mentioned shaitan? Shaitan, accursed shaitan. Allah has warned us in the Quran, aduwwum mubeen. He is your avowed biggest thief, bandit, gangster, criminal is shaitan. Your avowed enemy. Allah says, I've given him total 100% power. He flows through your veins. Shaitan, you have no danger from shaitan. He can't loot your wealth, your money. He cannot influence your children. Rather, he'll give you promotion. He'll give you, take you towards haram. And he'll elevate you in the dunya. He'll make you feel everything in the world is brilliant. Because he's your enemy. Aduwwum mubeen. Allah said, why? Why has he been termed that? He's such a big gangster, the shaitan, that your greatest asset of wealth, that's what he's going to steal. He's so clever. He will steal your greatest asset, and we're not protecting it. If we don't protect our iman, the greatest wealth we have, then he will grab it and he'll run with it. And you won't even realize. You won't realize that he's looted your wealth. When you are dying and your ruh will be extracted, Allah will say that wealth I gave you from birth till death, you didn't protect it. You didn't protect it. You came to this world. Allah said that as soon as you were born, I warned you. The adhan was called in your ears. You were warned. Allah says. So we have to protect the kalima to an extreme level. The highest level of security. Such examples of how people protected this kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. How did people protect this kalima? As a Bilal radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. How did he protect his iman? These events in Islam, historical facts that are before us. What did he do? We complain. What do we think? Oh, maslahat. Yani, oh no, it's hikmah, there are issues, if you have problems, difficulties, you can just brush over it. So we bring hikmah in front of our deen. No, if you have issues and problems, difficulties, it's alright, you can compromise, it's okay. Because if you don't compromise, then, you know, you'll understand what I'm saying, that nowadays we put forward pathetic excuses. We live in the world, we've got to get by, oh, just follow this masala. You know, Allah's given us the, you know, the let-off, we say. Many let-offs, isn't it? We look for the excuses. So what is this in reality? The other name for this excuses is shaitan, who is cooperating with you, coordinating with you, giving you excuses that you can steal and you can do fraud. But that youth, when he's departing from the world, that's when he'll realize the sins and the mistakes he made, that nothing was of value to him. Are we not going to die? Us, we all are going to die. So brothers, without protecting our wealth of iman, there are examples in front of us, as I said, of how iman was protected. This moment in time, we're sitting in Muharram, the holy month of Muharram. So we're speaking now in this sacred month. There's a great example in front of us in Muharram, in this month, how iman was protected. In these days, from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. What a great historical event in the history of Islam. Such a great event that a poet, Hazrat Allama Iqbal, which angle did he look at this event of Karbala, of the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu anhu? What he said was that when Hazrat Hussein was martyred, then we need to learn that Islam is revived after every example of Karbala. This is the point. Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu protected his iman. He gave us the example that this is the limit you have to go to. If you have to go beyond that limit, then go there. It's a cheap bargain. It's a cheap deal. A child, if he passes, go. Money goes. If elders going, go. If you're hungry, go. Water's shut off, fine. Whatever examination you are put through, what a great example. He was the family of Rasulullah, children, offspring, Ahlul Bayt. Once a minor event. So from which angle do we assess this event? Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. From which angle do we observe and learn from this incident? That don't sell yourself, this iman, don't sell it. Don't sell it. Such a big learning. That don't waste it. If today you protect your iman, then Rasulullah has announced, you are with me. You are with me. You are with me. Not here on the day of judgment when I will be there present. You will be with me. SubhanAllah. Just a few days we need to persevere. Have patience. And why will we get such a great reward of being with the Prophet thereafter? Not due to worship. Rasulullah said, put the ibadah to one side. Salah. and worship. That's another story, how to protect iman. Salah doesn't protect iman. Fasting doesn't protect iman. Hajj upon Hajj doesn't protect iman. Protecting iman is another action. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu demonstrated how to protect iman. He demonstrated. Isn't it? Yes. The martyrdom of Hussein, which took place at the time when Yazid was there. So one is the viewpoint and way of Hazrat Hussein, and the other was the viewpoint and way of Yazid. And there was a clash of shaitan and his power and his thought process versus the strength of iman. Always and every day when you wake up, then these two powers, they clash within you. Iman and taking haram, drinking haram, consuming haram, lying, nonsense talk, leaving salah, committing fraud, leaving worship, not observing parda. All of these actions happen in this world that we're living. Despite that, when we do these sins and we prostrate to Allah, we say, we've cancelled the sins. I've gone on Hajj, I've cancelled the sins. Allah's forgive me. What kind of chat is this? If this was the case, then Hazrat Hussein would have got himself forgiven years before. And he would have packed his goods and left that plane and gone home. So is there anyone who shall ask better than me? Is there any child of mine that's more precious? The women in my family, is there anyone more pious than them? No! They protected the iman and they demonstrated to us the struggle that you'll have to accept the sharia, the law, the principles. All of these things are important. If a person's immodest, then he needs to think, what's he doing? Yazid, eating, drinking, be merry, enjoy. He said, do what you want. Hussein, take kingdom power. I will welcome you in the world and people will glorify you. Just accept this wrong today. Accept this wrong. This was the one. And has Hussein demonstrated? No. No, I desire what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, that I want to get that status in the hereafter. I just need to close my eyes and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come to welcome me. He will take my introduction to the hereafter. So a person, how he sells his iman in this world. Remember, never do this. This is the test of life for a human being. Yes, Imam Hussein never went into a plea or a bargain for his iman. He elevated his iman so high. Otherwise, that couldn't he just do dua? And Allah's Nabi said, you know, enough for him as wasila, as intercession. Could he not take him out of that problem? Could Allah not save those children? Such young, small children. So young was the child, Asgar, that he was taking in the lap. And for a few days he was thirsty, extreme heat, and he was being held up. And he was asked, looking for water, and the arrow pierced his neck. Then the splashes of blood came into the hands of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. So don't sell yourself. This was the message. I will not consume haram. I will not lie. I will not commit fraud. I will not backbite. That this is how cheap we have to give our lives away. Our iman that we think we'll just pray a few salam, we'll earn Jannah. No, we have to pass through the severe examination. Death is close. But Allah Ta'ala tests us. Even now we have sold ourselves. We are immersed in the sins. Let's promise. This is the month of Muharram. It is the sacred month from the months. The months are sacred. It's one of the months. Such history in this month. And this is a historical day that I'm telling you. And in front of us this great message came. Do not wilt. Do not shake. Do not give up. Don't think that I've got so many sins. I've done so many sins. Allah says, no. Even today if you repent, you will become from the group of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Subhanallah. That all we need to do, that we want to get to the high level. So there are two things. We can't even grow 2 hairs on our chins nowadays. So hard. If Allah Ta'ala wants, the hair will come out. Maybe He'll give an illness to us that we cannot shave the beard or cut off the hairs. Then what will we do? But Allah Ta'ala says, Allah and His Rasul, their love, we cannot grow the hairs out of their love. مَن تَشَّبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. The discussion is going to another angle. On one side, Rasulullah said, if you follow my path, follow my ways, my method, obey me, not in this world, but I'll take you with me in the hereafter. And where's the other discussion? مَن تَشَّبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. That whoever imitates those who are opposite to me, doesn't matter how much salah, hajj and fasting you bring, if your Nabi has told you that in the qabr and in the hereafter you will rise with those same people. So don't give false empty claims to love for Rasulullah, that when the conditions and the proof comes for love, then Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, his model is in front of us. His example is in front of us. Allah has given us this model. That whenever you start to sell yourself, and start to compromise your deen, and you have exams and tests. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِصَبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ لَمَا صَبْرٍ وَلَا تَقُولُ مَنْ يَقْتُلُ. What a great verse of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that inna allaha ma sabirin, that when you have the test, examinations, Allah tests you with hunger, poverty, haram, illnesses, diseases, ups and downs of life, there are tests. Allah says qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Allah, everything is yours, everything comes from you and will return to you. Grab hold of sabr, just a few days you have to be patient. And with sabr, Allah said also that not just sabr, inna allaha ma sabirin, I will be with you, I will stay with you, I'll continue to encourage you. Subhanallah. Don't give up this path, Allah says. Don't give up this path. Don't go off tracks. Don't go towards immodesty. Don't take off parda. Don't run into sins. Don't consume haram. Don't consume riba. Don't utilize interest. Don't look at evil and impermissible things. Allah says, that's why I give you deen. I won't send an angel. I won't send a man to give you the message. That it's your status that will be elevated. Because in your ears, when you are born, the ruh, the spirit of the deen was announced through the adhan. Subhanallah. So this is the message, a great message that was given to us. Look at the message. That how to protect iman, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu taught us this, that my actions, gave you an example, that maybe you'll die today or tomorrow, the day after, this life of yours will go. But if you save yourself now and prepare for the hereafter, then you will get the success in the hereafter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Preparation. This is the key point. How to determine that you will get iman with you in the hereafter. All the brothers are sitting in this gathering. That are we not following circumstances? In the morning, when the morning the sun rises, we have two clashes, that the clash that race. Either the message of Yazid, do this sin, do that sin. It don't make any difference. You can compromise. Oh, we can't do anything else. One path, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Follow the straight path. He who follows Rasulullah, whatever Rasulullah and the Sharia has told us, establish yourself on that path, and that's the examination of life. That's it. Don't look towards ease, luxury, comfort. Compromise, no. How long will you compromise your deen? I swear by Allah, nothing will save us in the hereafter. If today we pass this test, death will come. You may have a stomach ache and die, heart attack and die, cancer, you might die. These are all means to death, and we have to depart from this world. Has anyone left, stayed in this world? Whoever's come, will go. Whoever has come, will depart. Whoever is sat here now, do you know, 15, 20 years, somebody who's been coming, what's happened to you? Oh, you've got a white beard now. I can't even recognize you. Are you the same guy? You've got a white beard now. You look old. They can't even recognize each other. That's the reality of life. How fast it goes. Yes? Evolution of life. Ups and downs. Our appearances change. Our faces look different. The body goes downhill. Weakness comes. Energy goes. Our objective is one through all the phases of life. Just one phase all the time. Every day. Every day until death. That not one second of our life should pass. This is the test. This is the test. That's why the great pious predecessors before us, that death for them was a minor. They said we would prefer to pass away and leave this dunya so we get out of this pathetic chain that's been put on our bodies, and we're restricted, that we want to go into the hereafter and have the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see great pious predecessors, the great events of their lives, how they prepared for the Prophet. When he died, he saw that the person who passed, he was sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Discussion, who is this? Abu Bakr Siddiq. I said, who's with you? This was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu with me. If I tell you dreams now of our pious predecessors, you'll be shocked. Their great dreams are, what dunya are we living in? What trance are we living in? This is a veil. They hadn't even left the world, and their students saw them in a dream, that their gatherings had changed, their company was so great. One day, doesn't take a day, doesn't even take a minute, that will you prefer to stay in a jail? Would you like to stay in a jail in this world? No. Nobody would say, yes, I want to go to jail. So this path that we're following, that we're stood in jail. Yes? If we're doing wrong. So what we want is that this dunya is a jail. Should I get out of this quickly so I can meet Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thereafter? This is the point. Brothers, do you understand what I'm saying? What's the point I just made? What have we understood? Till I revise and summarize, we haven't understood, have we? Okay, let's go over it. So what I'm trying to say is that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his message that he gives us, the key message of life. We'll go over it again, because sometimes when we talk and I go off track a bit and I diverse, I go to different topics. So the message that the Rasulullah delivered to us, that what do you need to do is you need to protect your iman. And if you protect your iman, you have love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you protect your iman, then with this protection, if you leave this world and go to thereafter, who? You have to protect your iman, the wealth of iman, from the bandit, from the criminal. The bandit, we've been explained to, the bandit is shaitan. In the Quran, Allah said, what will he steal from you? He won't steal your money, your cash. He will steal your iman. And he's been given power. Take his iman, pollute his iman, make his iman dirty, and it'll make you a waste, and you won't be capable of doing good. So just do one action. The reward for this is so great. What do we need to do? Is that we need to defend our iman from shaitan. We need to safeguard our iman from shaitan. Do you understand? So now I'll ask the question, how many brothers are safeguarding the iman from shaitan? Put your hands up if you're protecting your iman. So why aren't you doing it? Why not? What sort of excuse is this? Or statement is this? The biggest test of life is to protect iman, and we're not doing anything about it. So if someone says, I don't know how to safeguard it, then he should be punished, that person. That so many years you've lived in this world and you haven't padlocked your home. Come shaitan, come and take my wealth, my money. Is this our life? My life, your life? We don't safeguard our homes. Can it be that Allah has given us the greatest wealth of iman and we don't protect our iman? We don't learn how to protect our iman? We don't know how to ward off shaitan? Allah says, I give you a lock, apply this padlock. Shaitan can never loot your wealth of iman. Never. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has given us a padlock, a seal, a chain. Do not fear, I'm with you. Allah says that I'm with the muhsineen. They who want to protect the iman, they are muhsineen in Allah's vision. Allah says, I'm always with you. Why do you worry? Why are you concerned? Do you want to protect your iman? Put your hands up if you want to protect your iman. Do you want to protect your iman, the faith Allah has given you? Are you honest? Are you truthful? Then I'll tell you the lock. I'll tell you the seal, the chain. The Quran tells us. Allah has explained and defined the lock. Such a padlock, such a lock that shaitan's foundations shake. He cannot get close to you when you apply this lock to your iman. He cannot instill waswasas into your mind and your heart. He cannot whisper into your ears. So I tell you what's that padlock? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَسِيلًا هُوَ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ لِيُخْرِجَهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Allah says, this is the padlock. Yes? Very clear. Oh Allah, please tell me an action. I do ibadah, I worship you, my ummah. The Nabi Hazrat Musa alayhi salam requested Allah. Allah, he's saying, my ummah, me, we worship you, Allah. Please tell us a formula, a solution. The Prophet, Allah, he had so much fikr. The Prophet, the Anbiya had fikr. And today we have no concern that we should protect iman. We'll protect our homes and lock our houses. But we have assigned our iman to shaitan. Here, take our iman, we say to shaitan. Play with it. What is this? What is this? Why don't we understand the reality of life? What we're here for? That Allah has so many times announced in the Quran, you will sell your iman, you'll be destroyed. What's the lock? Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he said, Allah, please tell me, how can I save myself from shaitan, so my people, my nation? Allah said, Musa, do one action. That remember me, do my dhikr in abundance, in high quantity. High quantity. Musa alayhi salam cooled down. He was happy, Allah, I'm grateful to you. And this is the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. We, that Musa alayhi salam said, Allah, please include me in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. What do we think is dhikr? We just look at it as a minor. We trample on it. Brothers, such a great action, the greatest action, the hadith states, the shaitan, they will try to drag your iman, pull your iman. But when they see that dhikr is being done, then they scarp and run for miles. They run for miles when they see someone doing dhikr. That's how fantastic, great seal Allah has given. Dhikr Allah is a castle, a fort. When a believer does dhikr, Allah says, then he is locked into my fort. Allah's fort, imagine how strong it is. Here's a guarantee Allah has given that the dhakir who remembers Allah, they will walk into paradise laughing. Laughing because they will have the same iman intact, from this world to the hereafter. What should we do? Allah, what should I do? Who taught where this dhikr in the morning and the evening, this masjid? I host it. And who allows us to come? Allah allows us to come. And we say we want iman. My brothers, understand the message of today. If we want iman, we are living a life of deception. Insan, human being, is that person who lives his life according to the message of the Quran and Hadith. Every ibadah has a standard, has a procedure. Every ibadah. And dhikr is the most unique of all ibadah. You cannot link dhikr. No, I do other ibadah, I don't need to do dhikr. I study this, I don't need to do dhikr. I do those actions, I don't need to do dhikr. No, dhikr is not for thawab, wood. It's a lock. It's a padlock. It's a seal. You have to do it. It's compulsory. If you read the Quran, you need to protect your Quran. If you pray salah, you need to protect your salah. And we have wealth to our name. You give sadaqah, charity, you need to protect it. You've done hajj, you need to protect your hajj. That this hajj, until qiyamah, it will run with me. May not be that shaitan loots me. You've come, done hajj, and you come back, and shaitan, he loots your hajj. You haven't even returned, you'll stop watching films. He'll make you watch a film. He'll make you lie. He'll make you go on the path of haram. How many people? I've done 5 umrah. I've done 6 umrah. I've done hajj. This much. But I can't see any result. Why? Because he's looted your deen. He's looted your iman. So every human being, it's compulsory for him to do dhikr of Allah. That's why Allah says in Arafah, on Hajj, do my dhikr. In Muzdalifah, do my dhikr. Great ibadah was happening, Hajj. But Allah says, don't leave me. Don't forget my dhikr. On every rukun, do my dhikr. Do my dhikr. Why? Allah says, that may shaitan not loot and steal your iman. And those people, Hajj, Umrah, they're looted. You can see with your eyes, bare eyes. Soon as they come back to Mina, after Arafah and Muzdalifah, then when they take their ihram off, they clean their faces, they shave their faces, and their hairs drop to the ground, and they say, oh, our hajj is finished here, cancelled. Does this not occur? Is this not a sin? Subhanallah. Tell me, that what hajj is this? Shaitan's taken your hajj, looted the iman. Am I right or am I wrong, my brother? So this is the hadith Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu delivered to us. That if in our hearts we have love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in other words, iman is present, iman is there, then what we need to do is we think love is, I do dhikr, I start crying, I've got love for Allah. If I listen to a nasheed and I cry, oh, he's got love for Allah. I've recited a naat and I start crying, oh, he's an ashika lover of Allah. This is not the proof of love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not the proof of love. This is not love. Love is that what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divines to us. Iman, we need iman. We need to follow his footsteps. And protection of iman is what? Just like Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu did. We need to become Husseini. Follow his path. Don't consume haram. Don't accept compromise for haram. Leave the country. Leave the village. Leave the house. Look. No deal is expensive. What did the people of Makkah do? When the hukam came, leave Makkah. The people who were born in Makkah, living there, they had a life there, everything was there. They looked at Makkah and they left Makkah. We don't have a link here now. The hukum has been given. Our iman cannot be saved here. We need to depart and save our iman somewhere else. Subhanallah. So how do we do hijrah? Where is the money? Where's the money? Even if the children's iman is going, daughter's iman is going, household iman is going, our family's iman is going. No, I need cash, I need money, houses, cars. And we are doing deals. We're selling our iman for the sake of dunya. We say they're big heads, big shoulders. Yeah, I've gained the dunya. Restrict yourself and make yourself realistic. Become those who prefer the real life. What are we doing here? What are we selling for iman? In our homes, what's going on? We are Muslims. We are believers, me and you. We are fathers of Muslim daughters. Yes? And we have, shaitan has drowned us, he has made us immodest. Shaitan, he makes us immodest. With our eyes we see the iman and the haya coming out of the children. That, and a brother said to me, Hazrat, do dua for me, I can get a visa. And I started to shake. And I took him to one side, I said, visa? You want a visa? That will be stamped, but you are doing the wrong deal. That give me a guarantee of one thing. This is quite a historical event. And he was from a great family, noble family. And he was Sayyid. And he said, I said to him, you got children. I said, give me one guarantee. Will you save your children when you come to this environment? He listened. I said, will you be able to observe parda, your children? They're very respectful, a great status. If you can, guarantee your iman, then stay here. But I said, persevere through poverty and hunger, but don't sell your iman for the sake of dunya. And After some days, he said, Hazrat, do dua for me, pray for me. He got the visa. And his dua was accepted. And this is the test that we have with us in our lives. That this is a result after the examination of iman in this world. Massive result will come thereafter. So if you want Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's company in the hereafter, forever and ever more, if you want permanent company of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then follow the Husseini path, my brothers. That's it. Give up everything, don't compromise. But we see if our iman is not safe, our children are not safe, money, hoards of wealth. Okay, you get good food here, good jobs and good comforts, but we don't have good iman here. And mouth is close, and our children are growing up, daughters, sons, we see the environment, it's getting spoiled. All of these points, we say, no, it's okay, be calm, everything will be fine, and if we do this and everything will be fine. No, nothing will be fine if we don't prepare for it, if we don't work for it. Sit down, think about your life, that my life, what's the decision of my life? Put the first number one topic you have to put is Allah and Allah's Rasul. Where will I get their love from? How can I earn it and maintain it? That's it. That's the deal we need to make. May Allah Ta'ala give me and all you brothers this message of Muharram. May He give us the tawfiq to practice on this. And may we all depart this world as lovers of Allah and His Rasul. But at least protect and safeguard your iman. At least do this, that you're living this world. If you've come to this world, then don't just leave the iman. At least with an honest heart, take hold of the gatherings of dhikr, the majalis of dhikr. If a person who is hosting dhikr is telling you morning and evening do dhikr, then maintain that, do that. Can you not even do that? Such a great guarantee Allah is giving. At least do this action so that shaitan, I can control them. In this country, Allah Ta'ala will protect us, inshallah. Yes, at least take a footstep towards Allah. Where is dhikr? Dhikr is here in our Masjid Al-Falah, Masjid Al-Taqwa, Zakira Masjid, Makki Masjid. I could not even imagine so many masjids, there'll be halakah, there'll be gathering of dhikr. I couldn't even imagine years ago, but we don't want to come. We're stubborn, there's no emphasis, no importance. Rather, these are dhikr wale, they do dhikr, there's no wala person, nothing. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala says, wherever my dhikr is done, sit there, close your eyes, concentrate. It's not my dhikr, is it? It's not your dhikr, it's Allah's dhikr that's happening. It's a gathering, halakha. Just like the ocean is flowing, you're thirsty, jump into the ocean and drink the water. Yes, and when your thirst has gone, then come out and carry on. This is the ocean of Allah's name. Allah's ismi dhat, His personal name, His name. Come, you're thirsty, jump into the ocean of Allah's name and drink and do the dhikr of Allah and quench your thirst. Why are you afraid of dhikr of Allah? Why are you nervous and anxious? Can't you even give up your time? Okay, I'll sit in the morning 30, 45 minutes gathering with dhikr. From that I will start to protect my iman. Will you do this, brothers? Inshallah. That's it. There's nothing else. There's no other way to protect iman. That's it. I'll tell you the final words now. The final hadith. That there is no method to protect iman except the dhikr of Allah. There's no way other to protect iman. No other padlock. No means, no method. Apart from the dhikr of Allah. I'm telling you clearly. Apart from dhikr, Allah's remembrance. That can melt shaitan. Destroy shaitan. And take you far from shaitan. And that can protect your deen and your iman. Don't delay. Don't lie. Don't let shaitan. We know we say waswasas, thoughts, shaitan influences me. We say waswas are coming, thoughts are coming, this is coming, that's coming. That's it. Because we don't apply the formula, the solution. Shaitan is influencing us. Yes, do dhikr to the highest level. Come in the beginning of the majlis. And leave at the end of the majlis. There are adab, manners. I will give you this message all the time. Every time. First come in, first in, last out. Come running to the dhikr of Allah. How should you come? Not walking. Come running to the gatherings of dhikr. Yes, fathiru ila Allah. Allah says, hasten to my name, to my gathering. Don't delay, don't stop. Allah's dhikr is happening. Dhikr, run, breathing heavily. The shutters have lifted. I've got to get there. Allah, millions of times over, I'm grateful you give me a place where I can go and protect my iman. Millions of times, run, sprint to the gathering of dhikr. I'm not inviting you to my gathering. I have no need, I have no benefit. Yes, when I say this, people say, oh, he's inviting him to himself, his dhikr gathering, his peer sahab, he's trying to get numbers and a club and a cult. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No one's understood me up to now. I'm grateful that even myself, I'm coming to this gathering. I'm grateful to you for bringing me here. Allowing me to come. What need do I have to make numbers and a crowd? 60, 70 years have passed and people have gathered. What have they given to me? Have they given me a house? Have they made a house for me? Yeah, what do you get from having numbers and groups and cults? If I say come quickly and you purposely come late, what loss am I accruing? Yeah? You get satisfied with this? Shaitan, he is making you mutakabbir, proud. On your heart, Allah has put the imprint that you are mutakabbir. You are rejecting Allah's message. And Allah takes you more into kibr, more into pride. You'll drown more into pride. You think, I'm an alim. Oh, I've got knowledge. Am I saying this? Before this, I've never said this to you. Have I said this to you before? No. That you host dhikr, peer sahab, he wants more people to come to him. He wants a bigger gathering. He wants fame and status. He advertises. Brothers, this is not the way. Take this nonsense and wrong understanding out of your minds. I have no personal requirements whether you come or not. Whether somebody comes or not. Yes? That, for example, if I've got personal contacts with you, if you don't come, then your wealth line will finish or your sustenance will finish. I have no link with anybody, no contacts, no person. I even forget the names of the people who come. I forget this brother's name, that brother's name. I don't remember the names. Yes, that maybe people do this in the world, but I don't do this. I say one thing, one statement. My Shaykh taught me one statement. He used to listen to my heart. Until death, may I be steadfast on this. What's that? What's that? Allah, may He instill this feeling and emotion into all of our hearts. What is that factor, the element? Yes. حُبُّ لِلَّهِ وَبُغْزَ لِلَّهِ Yeah, مَنْ أَحَبَ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ Love somebody for the sake of Allah. There should be no third party in between. And if you have enmity, it should be for the sake of Allah and no other factor should come in between. That's it. Allah's makhluk, His creation, love them. If someone's ill, distressed, most of all, then you should have pity for that person who stood in the fire of Jahannam right now. Yes, that for example, you can have pity on someone who's hungry, thirsty, or naked, but have greatest pity for that person. Death is on top of his head, and he stood in the fire of Jahannam. Allah says, save him from the fire of Jahannam. He's the ummati of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the greatest assistance you can give to someone. You should have pity on him that the fire of Jahannam is burning and you take him from his arm and drag him out, that don't go towards hellfire. Save yourself. Man ahabba lillahi wa abghada lillahi. Love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. So what's hating for the sake of Allah? Or having dislike for the sake of Allah? If someone's doing a non-sharia action, then don't have friendship. Don't love that action or that person. Don't assist that person. Rather, have strictness with that person. وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ For the sake of Allah, you are disliking that action. For the sake of Allah, you want to reform him, correct him. It's not a personal enmity. You don't have personal dislike for him that he's swearing at you and you are swearing at him. No, there's a dislike for the sake of Allah that you are opposing Allah, you're going to Jahannam. That's why you get angry with that person. That you are doing the wrong actions. May Allah Ta'ala allow this emotion to be instilled into us. So then you will have these feelings, will go far. I'm calling people, I've got a group, I've got a sect, and I'm famous. I have no happiness for who comes, and I have no sorrow for who leaves. This is the message I give you, and I'm with you. I'm in the same boat. You are hundreds of thousands of times better than me, and I'm sailing in the same boat as you, and I do dua that Allah makes me as good as you, so we can all succeed. I'm with you. I'm your colleague, associate. I'm not separate to you. You give me encouragement, I'll give you encouragement. Let's come out of the fraud of this world. Let's safeguard our iman. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.
شفيع المؤمنين دعوة يزين الحبيب المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وأصلنا وجدنا وغدنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وعزلنا وجدنا وخطمنا عملنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا. ہمارے کچھ بھائیوں نے اپنے بچوں کی بیماری کی شفا کے لیے دعا کے لیے فرمایا اور بہت سے حضرات نے عورتوں نے مردوں نے کہا ہے ان سب کے حق میں دعا فرمائے. اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی بیماریوں کو دور فرمائے پریشانیوں کو دور فرمائے ان کو صحت ان کے بچوں کو صحت ایمان کی حفاظت فرمائے. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وآلہ وصحابہ وبارک وسلم. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد لله رب العالمين.